Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. If you'd like to join in a pew Bible or your own Bible, Exodus 16. We'll be looking at the first 8 verses. Before we read, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Majestic is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, as we read your holy word, your inspired word, may your Holy Spirit fall upon us that we might truly hear. May your Holy Spirit fall upon us so that the eyes of our hearts might be open. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Exodus 16, the first 8 verses. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew 6. One verse, verse 11. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches prayer. Jesus teaches how to pray, and Jesus teaches what to pray. And he does so through a prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Now, this prayer is called the Lord's Prayer because it originated with the Lord Jesus. But it's really a disciples' prayer. This prayer was given by Jesus to his followers. This prayer was given by Jesus to you, to us. This prayer is for those who are up on the mountain with Jesus. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This prayer is for those who are up on the mountain with Jesus, who have been brought up on the mountain with Jesus. Now, through his death, through his resurrection, Jesus has raised you up. Jesus has lifted you up from the depths of sin and from the ever-looming shadow of death. And he has lifted you up to forgiveness. He has lifted you up to life with him as a gift. So in other words, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is for those who have turned from sin and turned to Jesus in faith and are now children of the living God, sons and daughters of the living God. So the Lord's Prayer is really, it's a child's prayer. Jesus teaches how you're to talk to your Father. Jesus teaches what you are to ask your Father. And we've said this for a couple of weeks, but there are 6 petitions in the Lord's Prayer, 6 requests in the Lord's Prayer. And they're divided into 2 tables. For the past 2 weeks, we've looked at the first table containing the first 3 petitions. And these first three, this first table, are focused, they're focused on the Father. They're centered on the Father. And Jesus teaches us and tells us that prayer begins here, focused on the Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, without reviewing all three of those petitions, we can summarize like this. Our heart's desire should be the desire that God is glorified, that he's magnified, that he is exalted in all the earth, among all peoples, and in our lives, and through our lives. Well, today we turn from that first table focused on the Lord, we turn to the second table of the Lord's Prayer, the next three requests. The last three requests. And in these three requests, the focus shifts. It shifts from a focus on the Lord to us, our needs, our petitions, our requests on earth. On earth. So let's look at our one verse from Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus teaches that our first request, our first petition of the Father is for bread. Ask your Father for bread. Ask your Father for food. Ask your Father for sustenance. This, Jesus says, is where prayer begins for us. Our physical needs. Not the spiritual, not the emotional, but the physical. Begin with the physical. Bread. Now, down through the centuries, and even today, there are strands of tradition in Christianity and strands of thought in Christianity that have focused so much on the spiritual that the physical is minimized. The material is minimized. There have been strands of thought in Christianity down through the centuries that have focused so much on the soul that the body is minimized. But here is the first petition for us to pray. Jesus says, ask for bread. Ask for bread. Now, no, we haven't got there yet, but before you ask for forgiveness of sins, that's coming up. Before you ask for deliverance from evil, that's coming up. Before the spiritual, Jesus says, ask your Father for bread. Which means this. Your Father in heaven is concerned about your body. Your Father in heaven is concerned about your body. He designed it. He fashioned it. He created it. He dwells in it by his Holy Spirit. And one day he's going to recreate it. Jesus says, ask the Father to provide for your physical needs. Ask the Father for bread. Which means this. This is actually an extraordinary thought. Which means this. The sovereign creator of heaven and earth, the eternal holy Lord of hosts, the one who spun the galaxies into motion, the one who fashioned the sun and the moon and the stars, the one who keeps creation in motion and order, the one who made covenant with Israel, the one who took on flesh and entered creation, the very one who conquered sin and death upon the cross, he's concerned about your needs. Even your little needs, like breakfast or supper, bread, ask your Father for bread. But Jesus says, ask your Father for daily bread. Daily bread. Now, for a long time, as in centuries for a long time, there existed great uncertainty around the Greek word that is translated daily. Great uncertainty. And here's why great uncertainty appeared around this word daily. It's because it only appears here in the New Testament. This is it, right here. It's not in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's not in any ancient Greek works of philosophy, in any great ancient Greek works of poetry. It's not in any ancient Greek works of literature. In other words, you could not look this word up in a dictionary. You couldn't cross-reference it. It wasn't anywhere to be found. Now, it was typically translated daily based on the context. However, the uncertainty of this word allowed for a variety of interpretations of this particular petition. And what happened is that bread became spiritualized. Since the adjective describing bread was unique, it was one of a kind, then this must be some kind of unique, one of a kind bread. Not common bread. Not ordinary bread, not the originated in the earth, ground up, mixed with yeast and water, and kneaded and baked and fresh and crispy brown bread. No, Jesus, because this word is unique, Jesus must be talking about some kind of spiritual food. He must be talking about the Lord's Supper. He's got to be talking about communion. Or he's talking about the bread of life. Or he's talking about bread from heaven. Or he's talking about some kind of angel's bread. Now, surely Jesus isn't talking about something that you can spread jam on and have with your morning coffee. But all of this was put to rest in the late 1800s. April 1897, to be exact. In April 1897, two British scholars discovered a garbage dump in Egypt. A garbage dump. And in this garbage dump, there were scraps of paper. It was essentially a garbage dump of papyrus waste. It consisted of discarded notes, discarded accounts, discarded shopping lists, discarded scraps of paper. It was all trash. And all this trash was written in Greek, and it was all written in Greek around the time of Jesus. And on one of these many scraps of paper was this Greek word. Not found anywhere else, but now found in a garbage dump in Egypt, written on a discarded shopping list next to the words chickpeas and straw, was the word daily. In other words, it was a shopping list for today's chickpeas and straw. When Jesus says daily, he means daily bread, today's bread. When Jesus says, ask your Father for bread, he's saying, ask your Father for today's bread. Ask your Father to provide what you need today. Ask your Father to provide what you need to live today, to get through today. What this prayer does, what this one petition does, is to teach us to live in the moment, to live in the present. The Father wants us to live in the moment. He wants us to live in the present. He wants us to live today. He doesn't want us to live yesterday. He doesn't want us to live tomorrow. He doesn't want us to live for next year. He wants us to live today because that's what you're given. You're given today. You're given this time. You're given this breath. You're given this heartbeat. You're given this moment. You're given this conversation. You're given this task. You're given this meal. The Father gives it. Tomorrow might not come. You might not make it tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. Now I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not trying to be morbid. But it's just true. But we have today. The Father has given today. We have today's bread. The Father has given today's bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This prayer teaches us to rely on the Father, to depend upon our Father, and to depend upon our Father moment by moment and hour by hour and day by day. This prayer teaches us to rest in the Father's provision today. And in turn, not to be anxious about tomorrow, not worry over tomorrow, not to be fearful about tomorrow. The Father has provided today. And when and if tomorrow comes, then pray again for your daily bread. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can take this to an extreme. Don't misunderstand me. This doesn't think that we should not think about tomorrow at all. That's not what this means. This doesn't mean that we should not do financial planning or retirement planning or purchase insurance policies or save money or think about our children's future or grandchildren's future. I mean, that's stewardship of what God provides. But what it does mean is that we shouldn't be wrapped up in them. We shouldn't find our security in them. We shouldn't depend upon them. We should not rest in them for our future. We should rest in the Lord. Find security in the Lord. Depend upon the Lord. Day by day. Hour by hour. Moment by moment. Now, this is exactly what the Lord was desiring to teach his people in our Old Testament reading. Our Old Testament reading was from the book of Exodus, and in that reading, God's people were in the wilderness. God's people were out in the desert, and they were grumbling, and they were complaining, and they were moaning, and they were groaning. Why? Because their bellies were empty. They were hungry. They had no bread. Now, less than 2 months, here's the time frame, less than 2 months before this passage, less than 2 months before the groaning, they were slaves. They were in chains in Egypt. But the Lord heard their cries, the Lord heard the rattle of their chains, and the Lord saved them, the Lord freed them, the Lord redeemed them. God's people walked out of the most powerful nation on the earth as free people. They walk through water as free people. The Lord saved them and the Lord conquered their enemies. It had not even been 2 months since then. And they were complaining. Their bellies were empty. Their bellies were rumbling, which caused the grumbling. And so they spoke these words. Listen again to verse 3. This is verse 3 from our Exodus passage. They said, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full." In other words, they were saying this. They're saying, hey, we're going to die out here in the wilderness. We're going to starve out here in the wilderness. God should have killed us in Egypt. It would have been better to die as a slave with their bellies full than to starve free in the wilderness. That's what they are saying. Their empty bellies, their empty stomachs made them forget what God had given them, made them forget how God provided for them, made them forget what God had done for them, that they belonged to the Lord. But God was gracious. God was gracious. And the one who parted the Red Sea would fill their empty stomachs. God promised to send daily bread. Daily bread. God promised to send bread from heaven. He promised to send manna. Every morning when God's people woke up, they would find bread on the ground, and they were to gather enough bread for the day. The Lord would provide for their physical needs for that day. The Lord would fill their bellies for that day. The Lord would give food for that day. Out in the wilderness with no fields and no crops and no stores and no restaurants, they had to rely on the Lord for their daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a prayer for necessities. It's a prayer for essentials. It's a prayer for basics. It's a prayer for bread. And don't miss, it's not a prayer for extravagance. It's not a prayer for luxury. Jesus doesn't say pray for your daily cake. He doesn't say pray for your daily chocolate or your daily cinnamon rolls. That's what I'd like to have. And you might have it. You might be blessed with daily cake or daily chocolate or daily cinnamon rolls, but this is not a prayer for it. You are asking. Jesus is teaching you to ask the Father for what you need today. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we also have to recognize that this prayer for daily bread encompasses more than just bread. It is about bread, but it's more than just bread. This prayer is also a prayer for good weather. It's a prayer for healthy crops. It's a prayer for stable government. It's a prayer for peace. It's a prayer for good roads. It's a prayer for health. It's a prayer for work. It's a prayer for everything surrounding what it takes you to walk into Kroger and to buy a loaf of bread. It's a prayer surrounding everything that it takes for you to walk into Kroger and buy the ingredients to make bread. A great 16th century German reformer, Martin Luther, he recognized this. And this is what Martin Luther wrote about this petition. Martin Luther said, "Jesus is teaching us to pray for everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace. Give us this day our daily bread." Now, for most of us here, this praying this prayer will be very different than for some of our brothers and sisters around the world. When we pray this prayer, it's gonna be different than some of our fellow believers around the world. And here's what I mean. For most of us, daily bread is not an immediate need. We don't have empty bellies helping us to pray this prayer. And if you're like me, you probably have enough bread not only for today, but maybe for the rest of the week. And if not, then you could go buy enough bread for the rest of the week as soon as you leave here this morning. So the question is, how do we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? How do we pray that when our kitchens are stocked and when our refrigerators are full? How do we pray this prayer when there's a grocery store down the street with thousands of square feet of food on the shelves? How do we do that? Well, first of all, be thankful. Be thankful. Not guilty, but grateful. Be grateful. The Father has provided for you, and the Father has provided abundantly for you. Give Him thanks. Acknowledge the blessings that He has given you today, that you have today, that you are experiencing today. Give Him thanks for what you have right now. Give Him thanks. That's the first thing. The second thing is this: ask the Father for contentment. Ask the Father for contentment. Ask the Father to help you be content with today's bread. That you would be content when you have what you need. Ask the Father to help you to be content in a culture that is not content. We live in a culture that is not content. We live in a culture that consumes and desires and never has enough. Ask the Father for contentment. And finally, that's the second thing, and finally this, ask the Father how you can give, how you can share God's provision for you. God has blessed you. God has provided for you. Ask the Father how you can give, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need, remembering that this prayer is plural. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray this prayer, we're praying it with the church here and around the world. When we pray this prayer, we're praying with disciples here and around the world. We're praying with children of the Father here and all over the world. Rely upon your Father. Depend upon your Father for today. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you have given today. Thank you for what we have this moment. Thank you for this breath and this heartbeat. Thank you for this time that we have before you in your presence. Thank you for providing for today's need. Thank you for giving us this day's bread. Father, give us thankful hearts. Thankful hearts for all that you have blessed us with. Father, help us to be content when we have what we need, when you have given us what we need. And Father, open our eyes and show us when and where and how you would desire us to give out of the bounty you've given us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.